It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM. And it's starting already, Bob. Thick tongue in the morning, but we'll get through it. But anyway, hey, I'm Joppin. He's Barbecue Bob. I was off last week and did a little respite up in the UP. We'll talk about that. But did a little fishing and a bunch of good eating. So it's all good. But I'm Jopp. He is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
That sounds good. Hey, thanks, Jopp. And welcome to the smokiest show on the airwaves. You can find us at thegrillingguys.com. You can also follow us on Facebook / The Grilling Guys and check out the Grilling Guys Takeout. It's a page also on Facebook that runs our little catering business out of Lowell. And that catering business is going to be teaming up with a new sponsor. We want to welcome Premier Botanical, which is a... It's a micro dispensary for the cannabis business, and it's only a couple blocks from our kitchen, Jop. And yeah. It's right across the street from Burger King. And on September 16th, I'm going to be doing a barbecue event there. We're going to play off the Cheech and Chong movie, Up in Smoke. We're going to call it Up in Smoke.
Yep.
A little double.
I'll be there a little late. I got a commitment. That's a Friday, right?
I think that's called a double entendre.
Right. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Well, or double scheduled, put it that way. But Bob's going to hold down the fort. I'm going to show up a little later. But yeah, that's you know, this micro that this guy has
dispensary.
Dispensary is unique because in that he grows, cultivates, and processes, and then sells his own product.
Well,
he's vertically integrated. He doesn't bring anybody else's in, and he doesn't sell his anywhere else.
I have to give you credit for this sponsorship because you planted the idea after you went to an event and met a guy in Muskegon who had a very large grow facility, and you said, hey, we've never covered that topic, and we've kind of stayed away from it because, you know, all my life, weed was illegal.
Right, right.
And now, you know, it's become mainstream, and it's very popular, and it's actually very beneficial for a lot of people.
Right.
It's not the old stoner business that it used to be.
Right.
When I was in it.
Yep. And exactly. Well, there's some of that. I mean, because there is adult recreational,
sure,
and medical, there's a difference, but at the end of the day, it is legal. And, you know, guys stand around on their deck, drink a beer, guys stand around now and smoke some marijuana.
Or they eat a chocolate.
That's
this
exactly
company
right.
has chocolates that are phenomenal.
Yeah.
Anyway, on September 16th, starting at 3 p.m., 1450 West Main Street in Lowell, Premier Botanics, and I said botanical before, Premier Botanics, or Botanics. I still don't know how to say it, but it's not Boderick.
No. Just show up at 1450 West Main.
And we're going to be slinging out some brisket and butts. And if you want to hit us on the Grilling Guys Takeout or the Grilling Guys Facebook page and suggest some other things we might want to serve there, we'd be very open to changing up the menu because that seems to be what I'm doing quite a bit lately out there.
Munchies, dude. That's just my recommendation. You got to have munchies if we're at the botanical store.
Well, the funny thing is I keep trying these new dishes and, you know, it's a
damn if people don't buy them.
It's a small new business. So you kind of tiptoe through your things. And if you do something for a week, like I did Sobe Kielbasa and just nobody ordered it. It was so heartbreaking because it's so good that Parkside smoked.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
It's just so good. And but they come in, they really want, you know, a barbecue sandwich or a brisket.
Right.
Something
well,
like
sausages
that.
Are part of barbecue in a big way. But
oh,
you
hugely.
Just gotta the thing is that they don't hold over the next day. What you cook today has gotta be eaten today
right.
in a sausage.
Right.
Some of the stuff you can hold and maybe reheat, but not a sausage.
Or a hot dog.
Right.
Which
yeah.
is a sausage.
Right, exactly.
So my little story is about trying things and then the next week not doing it. So the next week you don't do it. And people come in or call in or text in, and they'll say, hey, do you have the kielbasa?
Yeah.
It's like, ah.
Right.
So I've got this lady that comes in, and she goes, I want that Sobe kielbasa. You gave me a taste of it. And
yep.
So I'm not doing her voice very well. But I said, you know, I broke them up into packs of six, and I put them in the freezer because it's too good, and I wanted it to hold.
Right.
And she said, okay, well, I'll be in on this date at this time.
Well, there you go.
And I want six of them. And her husband goes, give us 12 of them.
Yeah. Made to order.
And then week, I didn't do the brisket nachos because they didn't do big numbers last week. And everybody's calling in for brisket nachos. So I had to shift up my game. And I got a cool way of doing this. But long and the short of it is, people love nachos.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So we're going to have to keep them on the menu. But I had people showing up late last night because it's, it's already Saturday.
Yeah.
Thursday night because the Pink Arrow game was on and a lot of people were there. So our business was really down. But a bunch of people showed up late and they wanted nachos. And I was all out of the nacho sauce. So I just took some parchment paper, got the chips on a little pan, and threw a bunch of this Mexican shredded I've got, and put all kinds of goodies, made them like I do at home, made midnight nachos
My convection. I've eaten those many times.
In my convection oven, and I'll tell you what, we made people happy just getting rid of our last few scraps. We sold out two nights in a row.
Yeah,
even though it was slow.
So word up on that, you will be making, as I understand it, some tailgate packages as the season gets going. That was the first game, right? Early game, warm out.
And a Thursday.
So, but as we move forward into the football season, think about that if you're listening out in Lowell, because what a great way to just have fun at a tailgate the half hour, 45 minutes before the game, and the food
headed,
is made.
Or if you're headed to any game anywhere. You might live in Lowell, but be going to a game somewhere else.
Right.
Also, we're starting next week, we are switching to Thursday and Friday. Because the other restaurant that was in there moved to a brick and mortar. And so Thursday and Friday, so Friday nights on your way home, you'll be able to pick up your tailgate, or you'll be able to just pick up dinner for the kids.
Yeah, or the weekend.
Instead of ordering a pizza, you can swing by and get some good wholesome food.
Right, exactly. And it's good. Sorry, that's a little self-promotion, but it's good. It's really good.
Yeah.
So you gotta give it a shot. But I've been having a little bit of fun. 2-3 weeks ago, I catered a party for a softball tournament, right? I had 300 people to feed. So I bought one of those big 4-burner Blackstone griddles.
Right.
Well, you know, any grilling guy with a new toy, you're going to keep playing with it till you kind of figure it out what's going on. I'm not there yet.
No.
Okay.
What's
because
the problem?
There's no problem. It's just that it's got hot spots.
Oh, yeah.
The burners are vertical, and they're going away from you. And there's the corners of it don't seem to be as hot as the middle, which makes sense. They're over the burners. And it's iron, and it conducts heat very well. But I've burnt some things because I've got it too hot. What I don't have, and if you've ever listened to the Grilling Guys before, the number one thing we preach is you need a good thermometer to be able to know what your food is at. But on this one, I need one of those infrared ones so I can tell what the surface is, because it's impossible for me to know that if I've got a 500-degree surface or I've got a 350, and it's making a difference, even because I don't like to oil up so much and put a lot of oil in the food I'm cooking, a little bit, but not a lot. And I'm getting some stuff that's sticking even though it's seasoned.
Okay.
So I got to play with it.
Time out. You do have to play with it. And you will have to get over the not liking oil, because griddles, flat tops, and I've now got 3 months on one, so I have had that learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
Yours is going to be trickier because it is a low-cost, offshore piece of equipment.
Yeah, it's $400. I mean, it wasn't a big deal.
It doesn't have the thick grate. Now, there's a couple ways you could solve that. One would be you could find yourself a griddle that sat on top of it, and I would strongly suggest you take a look at this. I have a giant griddle that I take camping. You could set that on top, and that would level out your heat. Okay.
Yeah, I'd rather do it like it's designed.
I understand, but the design is faulty, so you can limp along with that crutch, but you're going to struggle.
Well, there's a lot of listeners out there that have these Blackstones. When I was at that softball tournament, 30 guys came up and said, "Hey, I got one of those. Don't you love it?" And I'm like, "I'm learning it." Right? I don't love it yet, but I'm learning it. So anyway, we'll talk more about that, because I think a lot of people that are out there listening have one. But coming up next, Let's talk a little Yardbird. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Now hit me!
Oh, yeah. The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM, Country with a Twist. Welcome, Kalamazoo, Lowell, Grand Rapids, anywhere you're listening. We appreciate Portage. We appreciate you tuning in each and every weekend to this bantering that we talk about. If you missed the first segment, we were just finishing up a conversation about, I've got one of these new Blackstone griddles, and I feel like a lot of people have these at their house. Bob has one at the commercial kitchen, a griddle that is. But that's a stainless steel one. That's a commercial grade.
Right.
Much, much, much better built than what I have.
Here's the difference. Even with those, you're going to get the hot spots to a lesser degree. But this thing is like 3/8 of an inch thick. It's maybe 1/2 inch thick stainless.
Right.
So that's the big difference. That's going to spread your heat out better. And right. My burners are much better.
Sure.
Right, being commercial grade. So the other thing, though, that you could potentially, here's what I would recommend. One, like I said, get used to using a little more oil.
And, so let's talk about that.
Yep. So I have these barbecue sauce bottles.
Yep.
And I fill those with oil, and I squirt them on the griddle, and I use my big long spatulas, and I spread it around, and I keep a lot of oil on there. It actually just enhances your crispiness and everything right. that you're trying to grill
right.
or fry. And because it's a giant fry pan.
Right. So my question is, what kind of oil? I've been watching YouTube trying to figure this thing out, right? Because today on Saturday, I've got 16 people coming over. Sunday, holiday weekend. By the way, this is a holiday weekend if you're listening. And Sunday, I've got 14 people over, and I'm going to use the thing for both days. So I've been practicing.
Right? I have a feeling that, what do you think about this, Conrad? I think he's having these parties just so he can show off his new griddle.
No. It has nothing to do with it. It's not that impressive. It's not that impressive.
No. But. So good. You've already gotten a few of your workouts out of the way, so you won't necessarily have as much black as
right.
you could. And I'm going to tell you, even after 3 months, from time to time, it's time and temperature, just like anything else. And I've very often got cornbread in one oven, I've got something in the other, and I've got these big commercial convection ovens. And then I'll have maybe some barbecue sauce simmering. I've got two of these big commercial ranges with six-place cooktops. And then I've got this big flat top. And a deep, you know, I got all kinds of things going on. So it's octopus mode, and you can't necessarily get at all of them when you want
right.
to. But with that griddle, and what I've made the mistake of is I'm not paying attention to my burner. You got a little peephole to look at your burner. That's critical for a flat top because you can't see the flame. You don't know where you're at.
Right.
So you have to learn where you get those dialed in. And if you look at that dial as you're doing it, you'll just see the spot where it really performs best. It's never going to be on high.
Right.
Because you'll burn everything.
Right.
But the other thing is, so you've got some warmer areas and some cooler areas. You'll learn to slide things that are cooking a little too fast over to that cooler area.
Sure, makes sense.
You might get that good sear on it and then just slide it over and use the hotter spots for your searing station.
Yep.
And you'll learn to move things around, and I don't know how wide those spots are, but you'll find that field.
Yeah.
And the product
tends to be the corners. The four corners. It's a rectangular griddle,
then
right?
You push them off to the corner.
Right.
Because you'll be sauteing some vegetables, and you're like, oh, my peppers are getting a little black. You push them in the corner.
Right.
Push it in the corner, and then just keep putting your primary products on those hotter spots, and you'll be okay.
So, Yardbird, that was chicken. I use skinless, boneless chicken thighs a lot when I cook chicken. They're my favorite cut of chicken, but I did some on that griddle, and exactly what you just described happened is they got too hot and they got black.
What kind
on
of
one
cut?
Side. A skinless boneless chicken thigh.
Okay. Your favorite chicken piece.
My favorite chicken piece. And I did exactly what you said. I walked away, not used to that thing being
boy.
So hot. I wasn't gone long, but
off
long enough, man, it took off. And so I flipped them over. They're pretty much raw on one side still. Flip them over and they're black on the other. I'm like, oh, crap. You know, so that was
it's good for you.
Right, it was. And that was, you know, so the dogs ate well that night.
That's what I was thinking.
But anyway, you learn.
And that's a good point. Now, remember we had Apa Plancha on years ago. That was that man from the Basque region of Spain. And he made this stainless, beautiful grill. And unfortunately, they didn't make it. And I'm still searching eBay for a used one.
I think they were too expensive for their time.
The small one was $1,600.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm still gonna find one.
Right.
And what the Basque people do is a lot of fish and a lot of chicken, and it's on a flat top. So you were barking up the right tree. And, you know, I would tell you that people do fish on those, too, and they'll just leave the scales and everything on them. They'll cut them down the middle, fold them open, and just cook them with the skin side down or the scale side down.
Right, and I did do salmon already on it. That was another thing. That I wasn't afraid of the oil because I had that sockeye.
I had the skin on it.
I had the skin on it, and I put it skin side down and let that really crisp up. It was interesting. I put that fillet on there. In like 10 seconds, it was about half the width. It just sucked right in and tightened up when that heat hit that fillet.
Mm-hmm.
But I let it get, I was maybe 3 or 4 minutes on that side before I flipped it over. And it was, that turned out really well. But the skin was protecting the downside, right? I just crisped up the top of it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, chicken. Let's get back to chicken. Enough about I'll close with, if you've got a Blackstone, keep trying, because I think I'm a pretty good griller. I'm not excellent, but I am learning this piece of equipment,
and
it's just going to take some time.
And maybe you don't have a Blackstone. Maybe you've got a big cooktop, or maybe you've got a big grill.
Or a big cast iron pan. It's kind of the same.
But you can get this big griddle I got. I think I got it at like Cabela's or some camping store like that, Gander Mountain back in the day. And you can always just spend $40, $50, $60 and get something like that. You don't have to invest $400 or $500 for another piece of yard art.
Right.
Because let's face it, it's real easy to get a collection. I've, you know, gotten rid of all kinds of stuff, and
some of it came
now
my
it's
way.
In your yard. But it's not that it looks bad, it's just that it looks silly when you have 6 or 8 grills on your deck. It's like, okay, maybe you're trying to make a statement.
I've done a lot of things that are silly, and that's, you're right. I got 5.
So you can get a griddle, my point is, and put it on your
gas grill.
On your charcoal. My Cajun actually has one like that, and it's got another one that...
Which is a charcoal grill.
Holds a Dutch oven.
Yep. So we're down to 1 minute in this segment already. Is that what I got, or were you? Was that? Did I miss which finger you flashed?
That was. You got the right finger, and we got about 45 seconds now.
Wow, so we're rambling on.
We didn't really touch chicken much.
Right, we will.
Okay,
we will.
We'll come back. Do chicken in the Dutch oven.
Kill two birds with one stone. September's here. We're sniffing fall, and it means Dutch oven time for Bob and me. But that's an area where he's much the expert than I am in a Dutch oven. But anyway, Jethro FM, we're so proud to be here. Glad you're listening. What do we got? Conrad, we got Portage, we got Kalamazoo, we got Lowell, we got
Allegan,
Granville.
Plainwell, and of course the network. Yeah, all over the place.
Wow. It's crazy. This is a lot of fun. And thanks for tuning in, because we could only do this if you're listening. So that kind of turns our sponsors on. So you are listening to Grilling Guys, Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in. Coming up, we're going to be talking the rest of that chicken and then a little Dutch oven. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Joe from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of, to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. A grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I'll tell no lies. And do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're right.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grillin' Guys. Thanks for tuning in. We're actually going to talk about a little bit of chicken, because I think... Hey, happy Labor Day. Everybody gets a Monday off, hopefully, if you're listening, or at least some time off this weekend to just sit back, relax, and get yourself ready for the fall season. And boy, there's a lot of barbecue that happens when we do this. And one of the popular things is chicken on the barbecue. So we talked a little bit about me ruining some on my my flat top, but rotisserie, I think that's something that's just really overlooked. Yeah, I have one. Do you use yours much?
I have two, yep.
Right.
I have two. I have one for my tech, and I have one for that big South American stainless grill. Yep. I have them also mounted on a beam right out in the grill shack, so they're convenient. And I see them, and I remember them.
Right.
That's a big deal.
Yeah,
when a lot
right.
of people get rotisseries, they throw it in the shed with everything else.
Right.
And the next thing you know, the wife's putting yard signs on it.
Right.
You know, pounding it in the ground. Don't park here.
Right.
So that was my way of forcing myself to be more cognizant and, I guess, pre-plan it, pre-think it.
Yeah. So a couple things when I think rotisserie is indirect heat generally. You don't want it right over the coals, because you're going to get drippings from a chicken. They're going to flare up. So if you build
very
if you got
often.
Your, to your left and right of your rotisserie, if you look straight down from the meat that's on there, have your flame left and right of it. So
depending on what you're making, how yep. big the protein pieces are. Now, like if it's shish kebab, I don't mind it being right
over
we're
the talking
heat.
Chicken.
Well, I yeah. understand that, but I'm just saying you might have skinless, boneless thighs on skewers.
That's true.
And yep. in that case... You might want a little char on your veggies. You
right.
might want a little char on your chicken.
Yeah,
And it depends on the meat you're doing. We were also really kind of talking spits, and so whatever you're cooking, you're right. A lot of things are going to be very fat, and they're going to reduce, and that grease will drip on the fire. But if you do it right, it'll drip behind your fire, and that'll run down into your fire, and it'll just add
some smoke flavor.
Yes, yeah. It'll add more savory.
Right.
Taste.
Spit and rotisserie are synonymous terms on the Grilling Guys.
Yeah.
We're not spitting on meat. So, okay, let's talk a little bit about preparing it, because you've got a spatchcock on there. We've talked about this many times before,
yep.
but probably just hit it again.
Maybe a lot of people don't know.
Right.
But it's basically when you cut the backbone, the spine, out of a chicken, you turn it into a politician.
Right.
There's no spine.
That's right. Yeah.
And then when you do that, you open it up and you take a boning knife. If you don't have one, go get one. And you slide it down the inside of those ribs up against the meat. So you just get those rib bones out of there. It just makes for a better presentation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little safer piece of meat.
Right.
And it's easier to eat. It's all about your guest.
So,
'cause you're an animal.
Right.
When you're on the grill, you know, you're cutting off the stuff you're grilling and just eating it on the spot. You're not worried about you.
Right.
You'll take care of you.
Right.
It's mama.
Cook never goes hungry.
It's mama
right.
and the mother-in-law and the in-laws or whoever's
kids, whatever.
Yeah,
yeah.
Are joining yeah. you. You're trying to make that perfect presentation for them. And when you take those out and you I'm going to actually oil the meat side of that chicken.
Yeah, not the skin
and
side,
season
but the meat
it.
Side, yep.
And I'm going to cook that side first,
right.
Because what I want to, and I'm going to go really low heat.
Yep.
I'm not going to be direct or indirect. I don't care about that so much as temperature and grill surface. I want to keep that around 300.
Right.
And when I do that, I'm going to close the lid to achieve that 300 because it might be 250 open, but it might go up to 3 when you shut the lid.
Right.
And that's a big
deal.
So
low to medium heat on your grill.
That's a big deal.
If you don't have a thermometer, but if you don't get one.
Yeah. And if you want to go totally indirect, you know, turn a couple burners off or put your charcoal on one side and, you know, slide it over to the other. Either way, I'm going to have that skin side up at first, and I'm going to put my meat side, my raw meat side down, but I'm going to oil it, and I'm going to salt and pepper it, put maybe some, you know, here's a nice thing to do. Just get a couple of nice stalks of rosemary and set those on your grate and put the chicken on that.
On top of it.
It's wonderful.
Right.
Yeah. And then when you're done, you can toast those up and use them for salads or whatever you want to do. You can throw them on the grates for a minute and chop them up. But what I'm doing is I'm reducing the fat under that skin, and that fat's going to run through the chicken then. And I want to do that as much as I can because that's the natural flavor for a chicken. That's
yep.
your beautiful, juicy, moist fat.
So you get that meat side cooked like you want it, and you're going to flip it over to crisp up the skin.
And
right?
Now I've already taken a bunch of that fat out from under the skin.
Right.
So I'm less likely to have a hazardous grilling scenario because that fatty chicken skin can really go.
Burn in a hurry.
Jiggy on you quick.
Right.
Well, it can just catch fire.
Right, exactly.
And it'll surprise you. Especially when you're touching it and you just bump it a touch and a big puddle of that oil runs right into the flame and that thing just explodes in your hands.
Right. Yep. We've all had that happen.
Yeah.
And if you haven't, good for you.
Yeah.
But you burn the hair off your arms.
You don't need hair on your arms.
Right,
anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. But you'll know when it's done. Temperature 165 degrees. Poke it in the thigh. That's usually the part that cooks the slowest, especially in the spatchcock. That's going to be the thickest piece.
And the
breast is going to be laying flat on the grill.
And it's not just the thigh. You want to go in the hip joint.
Right.
And you want to go up front on a joint. And you want to bring those joints to, like, I'm saying 165 minimum.
Right.
Which means your skin and your outer meat's already going to be at 175. So now you're in the area where you're going to have the potential to dehydrate it. I would tell you, depending on the type of texture you're looking for on the product when you're done, having a bath for it of something, whether it's a marinade direction you're trying to go,
some sort of profile.
But I would be, when I open that thing up and set it down, I'm going to put that raw meat side down on the bath. And I don't care if it's Italian dressing.
Right.
Put it in something because that's the only part where you run the risk of the meat drying out. If you're sitting there in a bath and the skin's on top, you can hold it for a long time and not have a problem. And this is a product.
You're
that
saying
I,
this bath is after you've cooked it?
Yes.
Right, to hold it.
Could
until,
be whatever you marinated it in, make right. a little extra and have that ready.
Let me throw that caution out there. Do not put your finished product in the same marinade bucket that you put your raw product in. Bob said something that I think is very, very valid not to miss, is that if you want to put it back in the same marinade, have two containers. The one you put the raw product in, throw it away. And the one that you got that didn't have the raw product in it, that's the one you want to give it a little basting or a bath with.
Yeah, and if we're talking about we're staying on spatchcock, you've got a whole chicken folded or a turkey folded out on you. It's really cool looking.
Yep.
It's very easy now to cut in front of your guests because all the joints are evident, your skin's up, you can throw those rosemary sprigs on top and you walk out with a big butcher block and just carve that baby up. Maybe you've got three or four of them.
Right.
But just having the marinade around will help you hold it. And this is a
keep pro- it moist.
This is a product that it's a little less easy to predict when it's done. So those things I want to go early on because I can hold the temperature easy in a million different ways. But I don't want everybody waiting because I misjudged my grill, griddle, Blackstone, mm-hmm. you name it.
Yep.
My ran out of gas. Well, I want that thing done.
Yeah.
And that's going to park because even if I park it on the table, here's something somebody could invent. How about a butcher block platter with a nice insulated cover that was a presentation looking thing?
Right.
Because now you can hold your food and keep the bugs off it.
Right.
So somebody go make one of those.
Yeah, watch out for the Grilling Guys products. Here it comes, right? Yeah. But anyway, so Conrad just gave me three fingers, so that means we're almost out of time. So we're gonna hit the
really
Dutch
like
oven.
You, does he?
We can hit the Dutch oven in a minute because that's where I know that's gonna take us through the end of the show. So anyway, you are listening to Grilling Guys, Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we've talked a little chicken. Coming up next, Dutch oven. Clear out your freezer because you can make almost anything in one of those things. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Job, it never gets dull. A grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I'll tell no lies. Do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guys rig, hit the brakes.
Hey, welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys. It's Labor Day weekend. We hope you're planning a big barbecue in your backyard because I know I am. I've got a couple of them, one today, one tomorrow. And I just really look forward to cooking with friends and family that are coming over, and it's just fun. But as you camp, Bob is a bigger camper than I am. Maybe I'm not a camper and you are.
You're not.
Right. But
only because I tortured you a couple
right,
times.
Yeah.
But
right.
You paid me back.
Right. I have. So anyway, at the end of the day, probably the most universal piece of cooking equipment in a camp is Bob's favorite piece of cooking equipment, which is called a Dutch oven. So I'm going to just push play on Bob and let him roll because he's got this figured out.
Well, you just gave me another idea.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm thinking about this September 16th. It's a Friday night. And I'm looking for some pieces of equipment that'll be a little more fun to bring out there. And I think a Dutch oven might be a good holding vessel for something.
I've got one you can borrow.
I know you do. I have many.
Big. I don't know. What is that? But like a 12-quart or something. This thing's huge.
It's, yeah. Yeah. That's what she said.
Right.
So in the 16th, September 16th, Friday night, 3 o'clock to 8 o'clock, Premier Botanics in Lowell. If you don't live around Lowell, come to Lowell because it's going to be a Friday night barbecue on M21. And I'm telling you right now, we're going to fill that parking lot up. I don't know how long the food will last. Hopefully, I'll calculate it properly and make it to 8 o'clock, but
right.
It's not unlikely when you're doing barbecue to have something run out.
Right.
And I'm learning how to tell people and to have my people tell people.
Right.
I'm sorry, that's all gone.
Right.
Because the look on their face is really disturbing.
Well, and that's barbecue. And if you're in the South, the West, anywhere there's regular barbecue joints that are open all day, every day, they do this on purpose. And here's the why, is that it's better fresh. Okay,
yeah.
And you don't want leftovers. Sometimes you have to do it because you don't want to throw away a lot of brisket. And you've got other things you can do with it, make sandwiches out of it.
Nachos.
And we do. Right, and nachos and things. But barbecue is best fresh. So let's talk about Dutch oven. I'm going to reel you back in.
Yeah, that is when I'm camping. I've got a tripod for mine. I've got all sorts of different ways to put the Dutch ovens on
the
fire.
So the tripod's over the fire? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Like a triangular thing with a chain hanging down.
Or next to it.
Okay.
Because it depends on what you're cooking, how long it's going to take, and what temperature. Again, it's the same thing, time and temperature. But with the Dutch oven, you also have to get that radiant effect. So if you're next to the fire, you're going to have to rotate that pot from time to time because it's going to get hotter on one side than the other.
One of the beauties of cast is that it transfers heat very well. But if you are heating just one side, that side's obviously going to be a lot hotter.
And I'm going to say when I'm using the tripod, which is not very often, I'm going to hang it right over it because it's something I want to get cooked quicker.
Right.
And it's a wonderful way to cook something quicker as well because it's cast. You won't tend to burn it as bad. It really equals out that heat like you were complaining about mm-hmm. on your steel griddle. But if you get the bigger ones, and we always buy Lodge because it's American-made and it's just wonderful. If you get the 12 or 16-quart, those lids actually have a rim around
yep.
them. And that's where you take some of the coals out of your fire, get a shovel, dig a little bitty hole, throw some hot coals in there, set the Dutch oven on there, and then take some more coals and fill that top with it. You'd be shocked at how fast you can cook a pork butt in one of those things.
Right.
I mean, I'm talking like 3 hours.
Yep, because you're getting heat from below and you're getting heat from above and it's sealed.
Oh, like 375 degrees inside. You're baking it.
Right.
So you're not getting that smoky stuff.
Right.
But
which is good for some people.
Yes, you can take the lid off to finish it off and still get some of that savory flavor on there. But that's the beauty of a Dutch oven. Here's the deal, though. Now you've dug a hole and you put hot coals in it. When you pull that pot out of there, you got to be a good steward of your campsite because
cover it with dirt.
You will have somebody doing a dance.
The hot foot dance?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And they won't be, this isn't a like a Hindu thing either.
Right.
They're not intentionally walking across the coals.
Right. So Dutch ovens, what I've experienced, and again, I'm a novice at this piece in comparison to Bob, you got to have some moisture in there. Maybe not with that pork butt, pretty fatty piece of meat. Generally got a fat cap on it, and you'll keep moisture in there if you were
headed down the right road.
But
always
but like a beef roast or something that
Anything.
You want to put in there.
Even that pork.
Yeah. You gotta have some sort of cooking liquid.
And if
so it doesn't
if you're doing
burn.
A pork butt, I mean if you're like me, you're cutting that fat cap off. I do so many butts. I do not want to deal with a 195 degree piece of protein that I have to now somehow run my hands across and scoop the fat off it. Nah. Nah. No, you cut that baby off. They should have kept it for bird suet or something anyway. Because
right.
it's just
nobody's going to eat it.
No,
and it renders off and it dirties up your smoker and
yeah.
it dirties up your grill if you use it.
Now some people like to pull the heck out of a butt and throw it all together and let that fat keep their butt hydrated. I'm trying to maybe not have quite as much fat. And just a lot of flavor. So I'm going to use like vegetable broth to hydrate.
Mm-hmm.
And that works really well. I get the Swanson's and throw that in there.
But you're describing when we're smoking butts. But in this Dutch oven, everything's sealed. It's in there. That'd be even more reason to not have that fat cap
All
on there,
the more reason.
Because it's
going to
swim
Exactly
in it.
Right.
It's going to swim in
exactly
it.
Exactly right. Now you're guaranteed greasy.
Yeah.
And if you do that, I mean, if you're doing it in advance... you can cook that in the morning and then set that Dutch oven aside.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the afternoon or in the evening when it's cooler, before you throw it back on, lift that lid off there and you'll find all your fat has risen
yeah.
and it's either hard or easier to skim off. So
right.
Another beauty of a pot like that. But goodness sakes, if you're doing chili, if you're doing you name it, there's
right.
just
it's
so
a
many.
Very versatile piece of equipment. And it's easy to haul with you. It's a little heavy, but if you've got your cast seasoned, and we'll take 10 seconds, and that is oiling it up, getting it up to about 500 degrees, let that oil soak in, and do that two or three times before you use it for the first time. If you buy Lodge, they come pre-seasoned.
That's right.
If you buy lesser equipment, you need to do it yourself. But either way, once that thing is seasoned, then it wipes out. It doesn't. There isn't a lot of stuff that sticks to it. Maybe you need a
and
little.
And you never use soap on it.
Right.
You just use water.
Right.
If you're going to, if you get some crusty stuff in there when you're getting ready to clean it up, as soon as you're done cooking with it, actually.
Well, it's still warm.
If you just take a brush to it
right.
and some water, that stuff will all come out and you're done. Then spray a little Pam on it. Rub some vegetable oil on it.
Right.
You were talking about your griddle also. To flash back to that Blackstone. You asked, you don't know what kind of oil to use. I would recommend either corn, canola, or vegetable.
Okay, not olive.
Definitely not.
Okay.
Flash point's too low.
Okay.
You'll choke to death.
All right. Because that was a mistake I made, too. I had some Old World Olive Company garlic, and I'm like, yeah, that'd be good. I put garlic on everything. So I put that on the grill.
It was like smoking a bong.
Yeah. Yeah, it got smoky. No question. But that indicated to me that the grill was too hot. Because it got smoky, you know. I don't know.
For that oil, you're right.
Right. Yeah. So, but anyway. So, cleaning out the freezer. This is the time of year when the county fairs have been around. If you bought a half a hog or a part of a cow or whatever, you got to rotate your stock, right? So, get in there and look around, see what you got, and that's where I found that salmon. As
we
I found a couple pieces in my freezer.
We should have bought another hog this year and do a name the pig contest.
Yeah.
We haven't had one in a while.
Was it Hammy Faye or something that we got on the last one? But yeah, I remember.
Or
that.
Hammy Wynette would be a
good
one.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
yeah,
right. Tie in with Jethro. Very nice.
Hammy Swinette. Oh, look at me. Check me out.
Oh, right. Look at you.
But anyway, hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We hope you enjoy this banter because you know we do. And you know,
we might be the only ones.
Right. Hit us up on Facebook if you got questions, or even if you've produced something that's really cool on the grill, take a photo of it and shoot it our way. I enjoy that stuff, just checking out what other people are cooking.
Yeah.
And you know, if you have any questions, we will do our best to ask them. This is recorded radio, so we don't take live callers.
Perfect. But depending on where you are, September 16th, up in Smoke.
Right.
Be there.
1450 West Main Street in Lowell.
Right on M21.
Right.
Come on out and
right.
grab a sandwich.
The business is called Premier Botanics, and they're a new sponsor, and we're welcoming them with a little barbecue in their front yard.
Yep.
So take care. Get out in your backyard and fire up a grill or a smoker this holiday weekend. Create a little grill envy in your neighborhood or campsite, wherever you are, and we appreciate you tuning in. Barbecue Bob, got anything final to say?
See ya.